Lastly, I do want to invite up our lead pastor, Charles, and have your help here as he comes. Let's welcome Charles.
That was awesome. Thanks for great Easter worship. Thanks to River Kids. It's just so awesome to hear their thoughts about Easter. And out of the mouths of the children shall the praises of God come. And it's just wonderful to see the truth that's coming out. It's great to see them say, you know, what do you think God think of you? And it's just so good to see what is happening at River Kids, what's happening for the kids. It's wonderful to celebrate resurrection of Christ with you all. Happy Easter, everyone. So we've been planning for today, Easter celebration, for 6 weeks through the season of Lent. We call this 40 days of faith. We had prayer beads. We've had daily devotionals. We had agape prayer times. We had a wonderful time pushing into God. And the focus of these 6 weeks have been anxieties of modern life. Because that's something that we all feel, don't we? How many of you feel just completely free of all anxiety? Just Hakuna Matata. It's just all good. Now, we all get so stressed out about so many things, and so we explored how faith, the gospel, can address, can relieve anxieties of modern life. It's not easy. We get stressed about work, money, relationships, right? Ring a bell? Everybody can relate to that. But the message of the gospel, the Easter resurrection we are celebrating today, it tells us of God's unconditional love, agape, for all of us. And it can really help us. Agape, God's love. The Bible tells us there is no fear in agape. Agape drives out all fear. Right? Fear, anxiety, agape. The Bible says it really can help you with all of your fears and anxieties. So we looked at how does that work in real life? Not just a Bible verse that you just go, you know, blah, blah, blah. But does it really work? What does it look like in practice? How can agape give us relief from anxieties? You know, we're no longer afraid of like tigers eating us, right? That's prehistoric. So what are we anxious about? There are many things we are anxious about, but we're really focused on in the modern life, we're really anxious about falling behind. I think when I really think about anxieties of modern life, this fear of falling behind, that's a big deal, especially in this day and age of social media, right? We compare ourselves to all these posts from our old friends or celebrities and influencers and all these perfect posts, perfect vacations, celebrating promotions, celebrating getting engaged, this, that, and they all just look great and they look beautiful. And the more you look at that, the more you feel like, oh, you're not living that life. And you're afraid of falling even more down the ladder, right? Did you know that the more time we spend with social media, and we all spend so much time these days, the more time you spend with social media, the more you think you are ugly. And the more you think you are poor. That's the effect. There's research that's been done. You are poor and ugly. And that's what we are addicted to. We're just constantly looking at it to feel more ugly and poor. just constantly forces you to ask, you know, how much money do you have? These people look like they have a lot more money. These people look so much better than you. What kind of job do you have? Constantly comparing, being forced to compare and measure in this consumption-driven society that makes you buy stuff out of all that stress that comes in. It all works together. But the thing is, in this kingdom of God, there is no falling behind to begin with, because there is no ranking to begin with in the kingdom of God. So through this series, we looked at the Bible passages that taught us, that teaches us, there is no ranking. The last is first, and the first is last. And this is not an exhortation to take the last place so you can be in the first place. You know what I mean? I mean, that would defeat the whole purpose, right? I mean, the whole teaching was about how everybody gets the same, not take the lowest place so you can be the first. I mean, And we looked at how we are more than how we look. We are more than what we earn. We are more than what we do. We are more than what the world says we are. Amen? Because Christ died for us, we are worth the life of God incarnate. And that is an immense declaration of immense import. So consider the story of Easter. Consider the story of Christ. He did not come in power and glory from on top. He came in lowly, humble service. He was born in a manger. And at least we were born, most of us are born in a hospital, right? We started off a lot better than Christ. You know, he was born among the barn animals. We started off a lot better than that, most of us. He lived as a humble carpenter in a village, then died as the lowest of the criminals. The Bible tells us, and this is one of my favorite passages, let the same mind, same mentality, same outlook, same way of living in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, hold on to, hang on to, insist on, but emptied himself, taking the form of the lowest, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even shameful death on a cross. Therefore, God lifted him to the highest place. What a beautiful passage describing Easter, death, resurrection, Christ. And it begins with declaring that Christ, who is God on high, that's who he is, right? That's the declaration. God, Christ is God. But he did not regard Godhood as something to be grasped, but laid it all down and became the lowest, even unto shameful death as a criminal on the cross. And the passage says, therefore, that's why God lifted Christ to the highest place, as if that's the reward for doing all this. Yes? And usually this passage is taught as an exhortation to humble yourself like Christ did. Take the low place, defer to others, so that you can be lifted up by God. That's usually how it's taught. But I find this curious. I don't know if you ever noticed. It starts with Christ, his identity. Christ is God, God on high. And God takes the highest place, wouldn't you say? So Christ was originally at the highest place. And then he took on the lowest place. And that's why God lifted him back up to the highest place, as if that's a reward. Don't you find that a little weird or curious? How is that a reward? He only got back what he started with, right? There was nothing that was added here. Christ started at the top, got to the lowest place, and went back to the top. There's nothing of reward. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. If you look at this as a reward, there is no reward here. He only got back what was his in the first place as God on high, in the highest place. Don't you find that? Isn't that true? Isn't that curious? This was not a reward. There could be many reasons for the way this passage is worded. But I wonder if one possible reason for the way that this passage is worded is to tell us we will not lose our rightful place as children of God, just like Christ. Now, we are to have this mentality that we are who we are. Christ went to the lowest place, but his identity as God, who he is and his rightful place, could not be taken away no matter how much the world beat him down. He went back because he is who he is. Christ is God. He had to be put back in his rightful place. And so we too, for a time, we too may be laid low. We may suffer. Some of you may be feeling very low right now and anxious because of it. The world is very good at beating you up, in my experience. There's a lot that goes on that makes us feel low. But what is in us? What is in you? You are made in the image of God. You are beloved children of God. For you, Christ died. It is not for your achievements. It is not for your Goldman Sachs bonus that Christ would die for you. It is not for anything that you do or don't do. It is not even for your sin and righteousness, Christ died. Christ died for you. You are more than your sins and righteousness. You are more than that. And it is for you Christ died. You will always have that place, that measure of worth. But we forget because the world doesn't operate in that mentality. The world ranks you. The world measures you. The world, puts you in categories, up and down. And you get treated differently. And sometimes it even treats you like you are dirt, like it did to Christ. Happens all the time. Dark-skinned people were treated like animals for centuries in this country. Jews in Nazi Germany. I am reminded of the theologian Immanuel Levinas, whom my wife introduced me to. She is the source of many good things in my life. Yay. Anyway, he was a Jew during the Nazi Germany era. He was a soldier in French army who got really beat up really badly, as you know. And so he got captured as a prisoner of war. And being a Jew, it's not good to be a Jew when Nazis have you, right? So he was put in like a POW camp with other Jews, treated like animals, like less than human, put in work gangs, you know, just terrible. Don't know if you're going to get killed next day. Treated like dirt. But he talks of this dog that appeared one day. The Jews in that camp named the dog Bobby. And Bobby was so happy whenever he saw these POW prisoners. So they would be sent into the forest to do all this work. And whenever they came back, Bobby would just be there wagging his tail, so happy to see them, barking, welcoming. And he makes the observation, Levinas, he makes the observation to Bobby, there was no difference between the Nazi guards and Jewish prisoners. They were all human beings to Bobby, worthy of greeting with all his being. Everyone, human beings. To Bobby, there was no difference. Although we draw the line and make such a big deal out of who belongs where. I mean, melanin pigment in your skin can make such a difference. You're LGBTQ, and you're straight, and that makes such a difference? To God and to Bobby, there is no difference. Amen? It is for us Christ died. Levinas calls it seeing the face of another, recognizing the sacred worth of every human being that cannot be taken away. That is the message, death and resurrection of Christ. So, the resurrection story of Christ tells us, no matter how the world treats you, you may feel beaten up and beaten down, you are recognized. God recognizes you. And that faith that you are seen. And that's why I loved when the River Kids, one of the kids said, what do you think God thinks of you? And I don't know, said what, I slay? It's not the kind of words I use in my age. But whenever you feel down and anxious, remember, Christ was treated like a slave, like Jews in Germany. He was spat upon, despised, relegated to the category of the untouchable. Yet he was resurrected and returned to his rightful place, the highest place. Who he is, and we belong with Christ where he sits, as the Bible tells us. So when we celebrate Easter, let's proclaim and celebrate our faith that not even death shall rob us of our dignity as children of God. Amen. So to conclude, our life is sacred and ephemeral at the same time. We are like the dust in the wind, as the song goes. Our life is fleeting. And at the same time, we are worth the life of God incarnate. So don't take yourself too seriously. Whatever you do, whatever you achieve, how much ever wealth you might amass, it'll all disappear like dust in the wind. They will not last whatever legacy you're shooting for. At the same time, this ephemeral moment, this very moment you are breathing and existing, this is a sacred moment. You are sacred. we are. This is the day the Lord has made. This is how you are made. This is who we are. Let us never forget we are sacred and ephemeral at the same time. Amen. Let us celebrate Easter. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen.